Welcome to the Monitor Daily Podcast. It's Wednesday, March 25th. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mark Sappenfield.
And I'm Jessica Mendoza.
The coronavirus has made one thing clear. The world needs a pause button. We are shutting down economies because it is the kind thing to do. To trundle on would be to show a lack of compassion, particularly for those who appear most vulnerable. The world of 2020 is more humane than that. Enter Denmark, which is perhaps going furthest to try to put its economy in the freezer for 3 months. To do this, the government will spend the equivalent of 13% of its annual gross domestic product to limit layoffs and lost revenues. For example, the state has agreed to take on 75% of workers' salaries up to $3,288 per month, notes an article in The Atlantic. A proportional program in the United States would cost $2.5 trillion. That figure is sobering. Denmark has large surpluses, but its calculus is universal. The philosophy is, if we don't do it now, it will be more expensive to save the economy later, a Danish economist says. No one knows if this will work, but as we become a kinder and more interconnected world, how will our economies likewise evolve to not punish us for our higher instincts? Bold, fresh thinking, both liberal and conservative, will certainly be required. Now to our five stories, including a look at the qualities of leadership in crisis, how the coronavirus has changed thinking about those in prison, and simple science experiments for the housebound. Our first story. Leadership can take many forms, as the coronavirus response is showing. But people also generally seek a few universal traits, such as reassurance and guidance.
President Donald Trump's critics have spent years calling him a wannabe autocrat. Now, amid crisis, these same critics want him, in some ways, to be more autocratic. Use all the levers of power to urgently ramp up production of medical supplies. Call for a national lockdown. But the answer isn't so simple. Taking centralized control of pandemic response could increase the likelihood of abuses and inefficiencies, warns constitutional scholar Jonathan Turley. In contrast, Obama Defense Secretary Leon Panetta sees the need for strong, centralized leadership. He can't understand why someone who calls himself a wartime president is not prepared to fully mobilize the entire country. Yet already, President Trump is looking to ease social distancing guidelines in just a few weeks in defiance of public health experts. His goal? Rescue the economy. At heart, the pandemic has profoundly tested America's multi-tiered system of governance, surfacing different models of leadership. Assertive governors, such as Andrew Cuomo of New York, are earning plaudits, while Ron DeSantis of Florida faced scorn for resisting statewide mandates. Experts say what matters most in leadership are key qualities: clarity, foresight, empathy, and ability to adapt. This story was reported by Linda Feldman in Washington for The Monitor.
Usually, prisons are all about walls, but the coronavirus is breaking them down as people increasingly see prisoners' health as vital to America as a whole and as a moral imperative.
In Los Angeles County, home to the country's largest local jail system, Sheriff Alex Villanueva is working to reduce crowding to protect people from COVID-19. He's released inmates early, freeing those with fewer than 30 days left to serve. Deputies are arresting fewer people, with offenders who would see their bail set at $50,000 or less given citations. The number of inmates in the jails has decreased by more than 1,000, and arrests have dropped from an average of 300 a day to 60. LA County Public Defender Ricardo Garcia is continuing to talk with the sheriff's office about more ways to safely reduce the inmate population and the risk of contagion. The novel coronavirus that has, so far, infected 400,000 people around the world and brought the global economy to a near standstill is reshaping society in dramatic ways, including how Americans think about care for prisoners. The coronavirus has raised awareness that what's going on inside matters, and it affects us, says Michelle Deitch, a professor who specializes in corrections administration. When we are through this nightmare situation, we may well be willing to make adjustments to our policies that recognize the need to continue some of these new practices. This story was reported by Henry Gass in Austin, Texas, and Francine Kiefer in Pasadena, California, for The Monitor.
As anxieties over the coronavirus intensify, communities across the globe are fighting fear with kindness. Our correspondents around the globe offer ways to help.
Times of crisis can bring out the worst in people, but they also, undoubtedly, draw out humanity's best instincts, too. From residents of cities across Europe, stepping onto their balconies each evening to applaud the country's healthcare workers, to perfume, alcohol, and clothing companies pivoting to produce hand sanitizers and face masks, to simple individual acts like buying a sick neighbor groceries or checking in on an elderly friend. People around the world are reacting to fear and uncertainty with solidarity and kindness. As Fred Rogers famously said, "When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" We've asked Monitor reporters around the world to point out the helpers in their own communities. They've vetted charities from food banks to animal shelters, assisting hard-hit communities around the world. Check out today's Daily for this story.
When the risks of speaking out are high, why do it? For this small group of activists, it's wanting to have a clear conscience and believing that injustice against some is a problem for all.
When you think of Aung San Suu Kyi, civilian leader of Myanmar, what comes to mind? For decades, the Nobel Peace Prize winner was known in the West as a human rights icon. But since 2017, when international newspapers filled with images of fleeing Rohingya refugees, she has been increasingly condemned for her failure to stem the persecution. In Myanmar, however, many people rallied around Ms. Aung San Suu Kyi as she defended the government from charges of genocide at the International Court of Justice in December. Discussion of abuses is largely taboo, and even the word Rohingya is discouraged. People speaking out about the issue, or simply reporting on it, have been branded traitors. A lot of people misunderstood and thought that the nation and people are on trial, not the state and the government, says activist Tulu Ray. He himself started to question the state narrative in high school when he befriended a Rohingya classmate. Mr. Tulu Ray is among a handful of fellow activists who have pushed back against the silence. Despite fears of being attacked, they've shown up at rallies with T-shirts and brochures about the genocide case. The violation of Rohingya's freedoms and injustice and discrimination they suffer is my problem as much as theirs, he says. This story was reported by Emily Fishbein in Yangon, Myanmar, for The Monitor.
At a time when many people, yes, you, parents and grandparents, are at home with kids, here's an installment from our Science at Home series, fun, simple experiments that can be done at the kitchen table. Check out today's Daily for the story. Now, commentary on the coronavirus from the Monitor's editorial board. After staying at home for 2 months under strict lockdown, the people of Wuhan in China are now able to return to normal life. Yet for many, the crisis has forced them to discover new norms, ones more durable than making money or seeking amusement. According to the Chinese press, this message from one resident is typical. We should cherish every day and everyone we love. Wuhan has begun to reveal practical lessons. One, is that people experiencing what is the largest mass hardship since World War II can reorient their lives to seek what is enduring and true, what ensures harmony over fear. This desire to embrace the eternal also plays out in the politics of government decisions. In the $2 trillion package designed to minimize job losses and bankruptcies in the United States, Washington is struggling with deep ethical challenges. In these warlike conditions, a great sifting of values is to be expected. It often leads to practices that are more sustainable, such as greater love for family and friends, or an awareness that a range of pastimes, leisure travel, sports, gambling, can be put off or eliminated. That's a wrap for the news. You can find the full-length versions of these stories in today's issue or at csmonitor.com/daily. Thank you for joining us today. Please come back tomorrow when our Whitney Ulick looks at whether preemptive quarantine is prudent or troubling. In El Salvador, the decision could make sense or be a step toward dictatorship. Sometimes it can seem hard to find examples of leadership that's both kind and effectual, but as a former school principal found, a willingness to let God, good, impel our thoughts and actions empowers us to lead with compassion, care, and effectiveness. You can find our Christian Science Spiritual Perspective column in today's issue or at csmonitor.com/daily. We want to give a quick thanks to our staff, including today's audio production team, Jeff Turton and Jingnong Peng.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor, copyright 2020.